Hello and good morning, Stavanger Lutheran Church. Very good to see you gathered here today. And I would like to, today is April 25th, 2021, and it is the fourth Sunday of Easter. We'll begin with a few announcements. We have our six-week Bible study on the book of Isaiah beginning Tuesday, 7 p.m. You can contact Pastor John for more information and location and all that. 6 weeks in the book of Isaiah will be great. We also have our virtual Shady Oak Bible study. It's going to be every Tuesday night, and it's 7 p.m. We meet virtually. If you'd like to take part, you can contact me for the link. It's simple to get on. If you have any problems, I can walk you through it. Also, I'm very excited to announce the Lutheran Brethren Seminary graduation this Friday, 7 p.m. at Bethel Lutheran Church, and that is open to the public. And then, also excited to announce a big event coming up, Confirmation Sunday. It will be on May 30th. So, look forward to seeing you there and supporting our confirmants. A couple of free resources for you. Joe Anderson. Joe Anderson donated Our Daily Bread DVDs. These are a tremendous resource for you. You can pick them up in the entryway on the table. If you find that they're helpful and you like them, you can grab some more for distributing to your friends or whoever you may wish.
They're on the bench.
On the bench. Oh, yeah, on the bench by the entryway there. Don't forget to pick one up. Also, I want to turn your attention in your bulletin to the insert, the daily prayer notes. Daily prayer notes are here, and it's a way for you to partner with the missionary serving abroad. We have their names listed and some of the details about their prayer needs. There's a prayer for every day listed, and take advantage of that. Is there any other announcements for the congregation? Okay. Well, we begin our service in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Hear the call to worship from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's take a moment of silence and the tolling of the bell. As you are so able with the congregation, please rise as we worship the Lord in song.
I know that he is living. narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. All the world around me, I see. Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life now. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Congregation, you may be seated. We'll take up our next worship song. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Because He first loved me, tells me what my Father has in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, yield sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. How I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Tells me of one whose loving can feel my deepest woe. Who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Oh, praise God. Let us now confess our sins together using the words Almighty God our Maker found in your bulletin and posted on the screen. I will read the words under the heading Pastor. Please join me in reading aloud under the words under the heading Congregation. Almighty God our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us. And for his sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins. By your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. We will now confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please read with me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We'll take this time to pray. I'd like to hear any prayer requests from the congregation. Yes?
Pray for our missionaries in Chad and for the nation of Chad. There's been a lot of unrest against the government during this time of elections. The president was killed. Kind of in a state of potential civil war. So our missionaries in capital have been moved to village south of the capital, and we're monitoring the situation to see if a total evacuation is necessary for our mission.
Sounds like a critical situation, and we'll go before the Lord together. Anyone else? Oh, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, it is our pleasure to gather here together under the hearing of your word. We take our cares and our burdens and all the things that encumber us, and we lay them down before you. Well, we even neglect to lay them down before you. But we are reminded, once again, that we find rest in your name. Lord, thank you for hearing us. We lift up all the concerns that we have, the anxiety and the turmoils that we find in this world. Indeed, you have said, Lord Jesus, that in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. And it is on your word and on your promises we stand. Today, together, we lift up the nation of Chad and our missionaries in Chad. We have taken part in this work. We have roots in this work. And so this deeply affects us, Lord. We weep with them, and we fear with them, and yet we hope with them. We ask for wisdom, Lord, in the movements going forward, knowing the situation is critical. Give us wisdom, Lord, in knowing how to move, where our people should go, if they should flee and evacuate, or if they should hold up. Lord, give them a sanctuary spot and protect them while they are there. Let them still be salt and still be light in that place. Lord, may your will be done as the government is in this upheaval and this political unrest going on. May your will be done, and may opportunities for sharing your word only increase in this time. And may hearts only be opened all the more in this time. Yes, Lord, we pray for the people of Chad, the people who need to hear your word. Lord, I take up the concerns of the brothers and sisters in this congregation and the things on their hearts and on their minds, that you would give them some comfort. Holy Spirit, you are our comforter. You are our helper. You are our sustainer. You are our friend. Yes, Lord, continue to guide us, to lead us, and may we be open to the way in which you move us, which is always according to your word. Lord, I ask that you anoint the preaching today, the words of Pastor John, who gives the sermon, for all gathered here, and for all viewing, and for all listening, that we might receive godly instruction, that we might receive the word, your law, and your gospel, and be encouraged, edified, come to salvation, to be renewed and transformed. Yes, Lord. And now we will together pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now, Pastor John Jewell with today's sermon.
I invite you to rise as you're able for the reading of God's word. From 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24, I read in Jesus' name. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. This is God's word. You may be seated. As you know, Tammy and I and our immediate family had the blessing of being able to go to South Africa a couple of weeks ago for our celebration of our oldest daughter's wedding. She actually got married in January in our living room, but without much of a congregation present, just our immediate family. So we were able to go and celebrate publicly, have a service with his family, Tobias's family, and it was a great time. Thank you for your prayers for our travel. And when we were there, Tobias's family took us around and showed us a bit of the country and the area, and hadn't been to South Africa before. But it reminded me of the Africa in some respects that I was familiar with in East Africa from our time there as missionaries. And one thing you find, and it's not exclusive to Africa, you find it here as well, is folks at traffic intersections asking for something from you. Often they'll have a sign describing their situation and hopefully persuading you to part with some money to help them out. One sign in particular caught my attention and caused me to wonder what I should do. The sign read, "Wife kidnapped by ninjas, need 10 rand for karate lessons." Wow. 10 rand, if I did the math right, I think it's worth about 65 cents in U.S. currency. I wasn't asking. Karate lessons apparently are a bargain over there. What do you do? What do you do when you see those signs? Often they're describing a situation that's maybe a little more believable and maybe a little more serious sounding, something to do with sick family members. The passage here talks about seeing a brother in need, and the use of the word brother here is in this context most likely refers to fellow believer, fellow Christian. Could some translations will say brothers and sisters, or some will say fellow believers. It's literally brothers, but in this context means most likely fellow believers. A brother in need, and if we have the stuff of life, food, clothing, material possessions, how it's translated here, and see the person in need but doesn't have pity on him, well, how can the love of God be in that person? So, driving by the fellow with the ninja sign, I had means, or somebody with another sign. What do you do? I've struggled with this because of the passages like this in Scripture during our time in Africa and here in the States. Coming across people in need. And there's been many times where I've given something and later found out it was a scam and it was not genuine. There was a warrant out for this person's arrest. And the list goes on. I've turned away people and later found out there was a real need there. I probably should have helped that person. How do you sleep at night? Maybe it doesn't bother you. It probably doesn't bother me as much as it used to, but then I start thinking about it, it bothers me again. This passage speaks about that bothering. Get down further in the passage. This is how we know we belong to the truth and set our hearts at rest in His presence. Where our hearts are condemning us. Excuse me. Find the verse here. When our hearts condemn us, our hearts, our consciences gnaw at us. In verse 20, whenever our hearts condemn us, what do? Have we ever loved like we ought? Have we ever given? The ultimate gift is to lay down one's entire life, just like Jesus did. And if we don't do that, if we don't lay our lives down, if we don't do these things, how does that reflect God's love? I tell you, when I looked at this passage, I thought, why did I choose this passage to preach on? This one's hard. It's hard on me. My heart doesn't find a peace in this easily. We can feel burned and burned out. We can struggle if we've given and we haven't seen it go well. And the needs never end. And when is it ever enough? And all and all and all those questions. And we read a passage like this, and it doesn't give this as a suggestion or a helpful hint for a happy life. No, it's a command. It's an obligation. Wow. Like a debt. Well, is anyone else sufficiently uncomfortable and depressed yet? Misery loves company. One of the things we need to understand of this passage, and like any passage in Scripture, is context. And also to see what it is saying. Not to try to explain away the things that make us uncomfortable. I think it was Mark Twain who said it wasn't the parts of the Bible that he didn't understand that bothered him. It was the parts that he did understand. sometimes we're bothered by things that we don't understand. But it's these John uses really simple, direct, clear language here. Hard to get around it. But we have some clues of what it is saying and what it's not. For first of all, this the whole matter of the brother part, of the fellow believer part, it is specifically here talking about fellow believers. Now, this isn't to say that we should ignore people who aren't Christians. And by the way, I didn't ask the gentleman with the sign about the karate lessons whether he was a believer or not. I didn't have the chance. I wasn't driving and stoplight changed and we were on our way. But it might have made a difference. Here, as we read in Galatians 6:10, there's a special level of concern, kind of a hierarchy of concerns that we have for other people, starting with the family of believers. In Galatians 6:10, it says, starting in verse 9, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity," there's a nice key there, "as we have opportunity," we can't do it all, but God does give us opportunities. "Let us do good to all people," okay, all people, "especially to those who belong to the family of believers." The brothers and sisters, fellow believers. "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And if we look in, I think it's 1 Thessalonians, there's mention of giving help to those, if anyone, or excuse me, 1 Timothy 5, of having someone has a needy person in their family, they ought, who's a believer, they ought to take care of that person. The believer ought to take care of that person so the whole church doesn't have to be concerned with that person, but can give help to those who don't have family to help look after them, the needy. And so there's a hierarchy. We have a greater responsibility for those who God has placed us in special relationship with, our physical families and also our spiritual family, our family of fellow believers. But we are also called to do good to others, to show love to others. Well, good enough. But what about the how do we do this part? How do we do this when we are born as sinners, only wanting to serve ourselves? That's kind of our human nature default position. It's not looking to the needs of somebody else. And matter of fact, even in the concern for the how do I do this or am I doing it well enough? Who's the focus on? Well, it's on me again. See how the human nature just kind of wants to turn in on itself any chance it gets, even when it's talking about helping others. Somehow we can have this great human ability to make it all about ourselves. What's the cure? Well, there is a cure here. And it's namely, you guessed it, Jesus. You see, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. If we keep reading throughout the letter of 1 John, this theme keeps coming up again and again and again. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us, that He gave Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins. The obligation is not one that that we're able to do or to fulfill on our own, but it is one that God can fulfill through us, that He can fulfill through us. Again, the context of the letter. This loving the neighbor is not the way that we become children of God. No, it's the way we live out the gift of being a child of God. Look at what love the Father has given us. 1 John chapter 3, 1. This is how great the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That's the gift. God testifies that we belong to Him through faith in Jesus. And that is the command. The first part of this command is to believe in the name of Jesus, to rest on Him, to trust in Him, to do for us what we can't do on our own, to pay for our sins, to give us a new heart, one that doesn't turn in, but that looks out for the fellow believer, that loves God and is free to do so. Throughout this epistle, we are reminded of the reality that it is necessary to demonstrate love in real action, not just lip service, but real action. That's why we give offerings. We financially help those who are in need. We have food pantries. We have a crisis pregnancy center to give material help and counsel and encouragement and guidance and all these things for people in need and whatever the need is. It's how we encourage and support each other. We have meal trains when someone's sick and the like. And when this love is shown in the context of Jesus' name, it does give him glory. And it does please God, and it does encourage fellow Christians to do likewise. And reminds us that this is real. Jesus is real. When you see him living in someone else, and that love of Jesus coming through someone else, you see evidence that he is real, his love is real. Because we all have times where we doubt. But when the Christian comes alongside and extends the love of Jesus to us, I know it's true. I've been on the receiving end of it so many times. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This, then, is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. See, God is greater than our condemning conscience. God is greater than the accuser Satan, who will always point his finger and say, is that really good enough? Is it really good enough? Is it enough? Well, Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. It is enough. Because that's where our hope and our rest is when our hearts condemn us. He is greater. As John writes earlier in the passage in chapter 2, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Not an accuser, a defender. One who speaks to the Father in our defense. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. That is the truth, and that is where we find peace and rest in this passage. When we get turned in on ourselves, we're driven to the cross of Jesus, where he poured out his love and gives us the new heart, the new life, the new mind to love each other. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for freeing us. And Lord, help us. Help us to love one another. Lord, you know we're not going to do this perfectly. And yet you choose to do this, to love through us, to show your love to others through us. So Lord, help us. Give us the will. Give us the wisdom to know how to best love our neighbors, each according to their own needs. As you give us opportunity, Lord, help us to rest in that. Not to take on the job to be the Savior of the world. That's your job. But Lord, may we be your followers, your children. Help us to be glad to love our neighbor and leave the results to you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would the congregation now please rise for our closing chorus? Go now in peace. Faith.
congregation, receive this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.